This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, send them hot at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. More on the ALCS coming up, more on the, Sunday Night Football, which is, this is a coming-of-age tale for me, and I'll explain why a little bit later on. But right now, let's go to the hotline. We welcome in Chris Vanini. He is national college football writer for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter, at Chris Vanini, where he has some of the best tidbits that you're going to find when he does like a weekly rundown here. The 18 most interesting stats from college football's Week 7. Chris, I had no idea. I had no idea Texas Tech won this first game when scoring fewer than 20 points since 2001. How do you find this?
Yeah. The defense this year, outside of that Ole Miss opening, is actually been pretty good.
No.
They had the most coming into the season. They had the most, I believe, the most first team All Big Ten or All Big 12 players. Because David Gibbs has slowly turned it into a respectable defense, and you pair that with what is usually a pretty good offense, you've got a recipe for a good team. Though with some quarterback injuries, the offense struggled. But a 17-14 win at TCU was, yes, their first game scoring fewer than 20 and winning since 2001 when Cliff Kingsbury was the quarterback.
Chris Vanini joining us on the show. You also have the tidbit in here about Matt Campbell, 3 wins against top 6 teams in 2 seasons at Iowa State. That's a huge win against West by God Virginia on Saturday. You always wonder about that slump after a big year at a school that's not really known for winning. Sometimes a coach stays a little bit too long. Obviously, do we get things started here with the possibility of him moving on to one of the big, big, big programs after this year if there's an opening, or perhaps even the NFL?
You know, that seems to be his projection, but I'm going to guess he's back next year just because there are probably not going to be many big jobs open this offseason. The way the carousel is set up, the coaches who are on the hot seat, the coaches who are not, the big jobs aren't really going to open. There's probably only going to be a handful of Power 5 jobs. So unless it's something like the NFL, which is hard to see right now, I think Iowa State fans will have another year of Matt Campbell.
Who's your leader for the Heisman Trophy right now?
I got to go with Tua, even though he obviously got hurt yet last night. Still putting up just incredibly ridiculous numbers. Heading into that game last night against Missouri, Alabama was averaging 10 yards per play when he was at quarterback. Like, that's insane. 10 yards per play when he's in the game. The offense is incredible, out of control, and hopefully he's all right, because it's a lot of fun to watch him play.
Well, my thought was, and I've heard this said by a couple of people, Dwayne Haskins has done a fantastic job at Ohio State. Could Ohio State win games without Dwayne Haskins? I'm not sure. Could Alabama win without Tua Tagovailoa? Does that matter to you for a Heisman Trophy, or what goes into when you make that decision? Is just, listen, this guy's got the best look, got the best stats, the most impressive, I'm picking this guy.
Not really. I don't look at it as a most valuable. I just look at it as guys who are just playing at an incredibly high level. I think both of those teams could win without their quarterbacks, but you know, Alabama last year was scoring 37 points per game. This year they're up to 53. So Tua has made quite a difference compared to what they had last time. He hasn't even played in the fourth quarter at all this year. That's how good Alabama's been. Now that's because of the rest of his team, yes. But we've seen Ohio State play really well with a sometimes not great JT Barrett. So you know, I've got Haskins probably number 4 right now in the Heisman, but it's all really close. I think two is clear number one, and then it's kind of jumbled after that.
Have you changed your college football playoff for the Final Four, or what you have, and how much do you think it's going to change as time goes on here?
Well, right now I go Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Clemson. I think Clemson and Notre Dame have pretty manageable schedules the rest of the way. And Alabama's, obviously, you just said, Alabama's been incredible, and Ohio State looked really good. The rest of the Big Ten doesn't look all that great. So those are the four teams I go with right now. The rest of the, outside of those four, there seems to be a lot of flaws on a lot of teams elsewhere in college football.
How many one-loss, could we find one-loss teams in here? Could it maybe a team, and I know it would be such a tough hill to climb. You got LSU, that's what jumped up to fifth, I think, in the coaches poll right now. You have Alabama on that schedule. Say they are able to maybe get some sort of an upset here. Are we looking at a team like LSU who's a one-loss or even a, maybe even a two-loss team when it comes down to it at the end of this at the end of this schedule?
It's possible. I think for a two-loss team, I think you're going to have Notre Dame out of the picture. And they didn't look great against Pitt, but they've looked pretty good otherwise this season. You know, if LSU up to Alabama, then suddenly LSU's in the driver's seat. And over on the east, you still got, you know, Georgia, who maybe will turn things around after that ugly performance on Saturday. I think very likely you'll have multiple one-loss teams. I think it's possibly a two-loss team because, like I said, there's a lot of flaws on a lot of teams. Outside of Alabama, nobody has really looked that dominant. So anything can happen. We're barely halfway through the season right now, and there's a lot of problems everywhere.
I mean, let's just cut through it right now. Chris Venditti joining us on the show. Is it Alabama and everybody else, or is it like Alabama and three steps and then everybody else?
I think it's Alabama, a handful of steps, Ohio State, handful of steps, and then everybody else. I'm not sure what to make of Clemson so far. They haven't really played anybody. They played at Texas A&M and nearly lost the game, but now Trevor Lawrence is a quarterback. I'm not totally sure what to make of Clemson yet, really.
Why am I watching every one of these games then? Why am I loving this so much? Like, if this was women's college basketball, if Nick Saban was doing what Gino Auriemma does, and I'm not trying to trap you. I understand where people like to take this. I'm not. I'd just be bored. I would be bored. If this was the NBA, people always say, they call me up every single Sunday. I swear to God, Chris, I'm bored by the NBA, Golden State, and whatever. So I know that it can be a trap and it could turn into a gender thing. It's not even that. I'm watching every single one of these games, and I know inherently, listen, Alabama's just better than everybody else. And if they lose, it would be a shocking, massive upset, unlike anything we've probably ever imagined. But we still watch to see if they could be upset.
Well, college football is not about who wins the national championship. That's not the end-all goal for everybody. You've got rivalry games going on every week. You've got division titles. You've got conference titles. You've got bowl games. You've got New Year's Six bowl games. You've got teams trying to fight for bowl eligibility. There's almost always something for somebody to play for. And, yeah, watching Alabama specifically this year has been pretty boring, but that doesn't take away at all for me watching any other sort of college football. I don't think Ohio State is just walking its way through the Big Ten. They nearly lost to Penn State a couple weeks ago. So I think when you look at, especially with college basketball, you've got the entire season basically comes down to the tournament. The tournament is what defines college basketball. In the NBA, everybody talks about how many rings you got, how many rings MJ got. It's about the championship. College football is not about that. It's always been a regional game first. You've got conferences. That's why sports writers pick the championship forever. So I think when you look at college football, there's just so much more to it than who wins at the very end. The college football playoff does not define college football. It's the pageantry, it's the rivalries, it's everything else that comes with it that makes college football, not just who's standing at the end.
I mean, I get tradition and I get all that crap, but is a part of it because for a lot of teams, like I'm watching Ohio State, Penn State a couple of weeks ago. The playoffs start right there for both of those teams. Now, Penn State's just lost again. You can forget about it. Where even Michigan now, hey, they lost their first week. Now they're looking good. Now we can start taking Michigan a little bit more seriously or trying to put expectations on this Michigan team again.
Yeah, you know, Michigan looks quite good. I'll say, you know, they weren't too bad in the Notre Dame game. And the Notre Dame obviously looks like a really good team, and they obviously blew out Wisconsin like very few teams have in the past 10 years. But it was also just a couple weeks ago that Michigan found itself down 17-0 at Northwestern. This is a team that has not been good on the road. It is especially not been good on the road against ranked teams under Jim Harbaugh. And I don't know. I don't remember if it's Michigan State. Yeah, Michigan State just cracked the AP poll this week. So technically it could be a road game against the top 25 team. But Harbaugh hasn't beaten his rivals, and he hasn't typically beaten really good teams. Now, they did beat Wisconsin, but I think this Saturday against Michigan State, even though it's a banged up Michigan State team, really banged up Michigan State team, on the road against your rival, this is a game that will tell us if this really is a different Michigan team, because we've seen Michigan blowout team, bad teams before. We've seen them dominate. The year Penn State won the Big Ten, Michigan dominated them at the Big House. We've seen this before. It's what they do against Michigan State and Ohio State, especially on the road, that will tell us if this really is a different Michigan team.
What is the probability that Nebraska gets shut out in the Big Ten?
In the Big Ten?
Yeah, because they got Bethune-Cookman coming up in a couple of weeks. I've never seen, obviously, we've never seen in history a Nebraska team like this, so I think they should win one. But, God, Minnesota, Ohio State, Illinois, Michigan State, Iowa, like, could this be like 1-10 and that's it?
Yeah, I mean, the crossover games are difficult. You just mentioned them, Ohio State, Michigan State, they already played Michigan. Illinois is probably their best chance. Obviously, Illinois has not been very good this year. Minnesota, we'll see. Sometimes they look pretty good. Sometimes they don't. I think they do have a chance this week against Minnesota. But outside of that, it's going to be Minnesota or more likely Illinois. I don't see it against Ohio State. I don't see it against Iowa. I don't see it against Michigan State. So it's very possible. It's certainly not what I saw coming, especially when they got Adrian Martinez. They almost beat Colorado in week one. It looked like they would kind of figure things out, but they've had a lot of attrition there, I know. And Frost seems to be, you know, trying to basically play in bad cop to get the guys out of the – to move on from guys who maybe don't want to do the way he wants to run things, and this is a result.
Chris Vanini with us on the show. Chris, thank you for the time, buddy. All the best.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Chris Vanini. National college football writer for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter, at Chris Vanini, 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next, it's been 25 years since Rudy came out, one of my favorite college football movies, one of my favorite football movies of all time. So I got a very interesting question for Hick, I got one for Shep, and I got one for Schwartzy when we bring him in, next on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. Peter, you there? I had water go down the wrong side of my throat there. Oh, my God. We got to get Peter in. Hickey, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, my God. At least once a day it goes down the wrong pipe, I swear to God. Just had Chris Vanini in talking college football. Did you know today or this weekend is the 25th anniversary of Rudy coming out in theaters?
Actually, I had no clue.
Where were you 25 years ago, Hick?
Not a thought in anyone's eye.
Wait, how old are you again?
24.
Oh, man. Yeah, your parents hadn't even conceived you or anything yet. Think about that.
Pretty crazy, right?
All right. It's got to be, to me, Rudy is probably my number one, and I'm in a weird place where I'm in Ohio, and it's like, oh, if you like Ohio State, you hate Notre Dame. I don't hate Notre Dame, and Rudy had a lot to do with it. So I watched that, and I enjoy that movie, and I think it's probably my number one. What are the top three football movies? First, you miss a lot of movies. Have you seen Rudy?
Of course, I'm a huge Notre Dame fan.
Okay, well, you know, Hickey, sometimes I don't know. You didn't see Friday.
It's a fair question. There's a lot of movies I haven't seen.
Thank you very much. So you've seen Rudy. Where's that stand for you? Is that number one?
At the risk, I'm not going to sound like a homer. It's number two for me.
What? Wait, you don't want to sound like a homer, so you're putting it at number two?
Yes.
It's your favorite movie.
No, Hickey. No, it really is number two, though. I love Rudy.
Okay.
And I think it is a great movie. A lot of people love to trash Rudy. And I'll actually, that's why I said I don't want to be a homer. I was not expecting you to put Rudy in your top 30, to be completely honest.
Why? Why? I
Everyone
love Rudy.
Everyone I feel like I talk to just loves to trash Rudy. Maybe it's because I'm a Notre Dame fan in general, and they just like to always say he's offsides and all
Oh, that's
jokes.
The biggest. Just because they like to bust stones and because old What's-His-Nuts got so angry about it before. Joe Montana said that he hated Rudy. Like, who cares? Rudy's a great guy, and it's a great story. I don't care if the guy, it's embellished, so what? I don't care. It's a great story, and it's a great movie, and Sean Astin is fantastic in it, and the whole thing's great. I love the whole damn thing. So you're allowed to, it's your favorite. It doesn't have to be the best. You're not the Academy over here. You understand what I'm saying, buddy?
No, I get it, and I think, gun to my head, if I had to choose one movie to watch the rest of my life, I think Rudy would honestly be number two.
Okay, what's number? Okay, what are one and what? Give me three and then give me one.
Remember the Titans at number three. Number
oh
one,
my god,
Friday Night Lights. Huge Friday Night Lights.
I gotta tell you, I haven't watched Friday Night Lights.
What? Are you serious? Hold on, you get on me for not watching any of these movies, and you have not.
Because there's certain movies that I'm just not. I don't know, man. I just don't want to watch them, and that's one of them. When did Friday Night Lights come out? 2004? 2004. Blindside came out in 2009. I swear to God, I was getting ready to watch Friday Night Lights and the Blindside came out and I went, nope, because I hate the Blindside. There's certain movies that, well, let me get to Shep and then I'll tell you the movies that I hate, but go ahead. Shep, what do you got? You got any?
I'd say Rudy, Varsity Blues, and anything.
Oh, you're just saying that because I told you that during the break.
Why did you?
Shep has never seen Varsity Blues.
I don't know.
There's no way in the world that Shep has ever seen Varsity Blues.
With James Vanderbeek?
No way.
And who's the Godfather?
Just driving around in John Voight's car.
Right. Who's the guy? James Caan's son. I have seen it.
Scott Caan.
Yes. Thank you, Ken.
And by the way, James Caan was not the Godfather. He was Sonny.
Sorry, close enough.
He's killed in a causeway. They got him in a causeway. They got Sonny in a causeway. Look at how they massacred my boy.
He Googled it when I mentioned it before.
Good God.
Ken, that is a bold-faced lie. We love Pete. He's been in for a long time. I never, ever would take those words out of his mouth like that.
Pete ain't no liar, buddy. I think somebody's a fibber, but Pete ain't no liar. I know Pete. Pete's a lot of things. He ain't a liar. Okay, so you're out. All right, Peter, give me yours, buddy. Go ahead.
Number one, Remember the Titans.
Oh, sucks.
Number two, Varsity Blues.
Great movie.
Number three, The Replacements.
Not bad. That's just great. You're number one. I'm just like, it sucks. there's certain movies that everybody likes. My favorite football movie of all time is Rudy. My number two is Varsity Blues. You know what my number three is? I want to say North Dallas 40 really bad, but I don't.
Mm.
My number three all-time favorite football movie, 1983, Leah Thompson, Tom Cruise, Craig T. Nelson,
yes,
All the Right Moves.
Excellent flick. Excellent.
Such a good movie. I swear, if you haven't seen, already got people going, Ken, All the Right Moves, All the Right Moves. Yep, All the Right Moves. Take that, Walnut Hills! Is it Walnut Hills or Walnut Heights? It's either way, it's the Knights, and they're the ones that got all the money in Ampipe. They're just the poor white trash on the other side of town.
Yes. Did you like We Are Marshall? Because I like that movie, too.
I actually did like that because I got a thing for Matthew McConaughey, as you would guess. Let me explain to you why I don't like these other movies, all right? Remember the Titans? Remember the Titans would be good.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem. You know what? I can't say that sentence. I can say this. I don't need a little precocious girl who's the assistant coach's daughter, who's up in the stands and shaking her fist. She's so angry. I don't need that.
Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah, I've been 8 years old at that time. You've been 8 years old. We know 8 year olds. There's very few precocious children. Most of them are stupid. Yeah. I was stupid when I was eight. My sons will be stupid when they are eight. That's what stupid kids are. They're stupid. So I know that going in. I don't need some precocious child carrying me through the movie because it's untrue.
But that's not the theme of the movie. See,
doesn't matter.
Desperately want my older son to watch the movie. He has not seen it yet.
He's telling him he's not wasting his time. That comes from me.
I think the movie sends a very powerful message, and not just about football.
In some certain ways, yeah. But, yeah, meh. I think Denzel Washington's good. I don't need sunshine. I don't need them singing in the musical number in the locker room. And then every quarterback that has long hair now, sunshine. Okay, great. The Blind Side, I think, was written just to set Sandra Bullock up with one-liners. And I hate the movie. And it makes me feel even better than Michael Orr hates the movie. The actual Michael Orr.
He had a little bit of an issue with it.
It's just all pap, one-liners, typical, things to get people to the whole family together on. I hate that stuff.
What about The Longest Yard, the original one, not the remake?
The original Longest Yard, pretty good. It's not my top three, probably not my top five, but it's still very good. You know what movie I hated the second I got done playing high school football?
What?
The Program.
See, I like that movie.
I liked it. Let me ask you, Peter, when's the last time you've seen The Program?
Oh, it's been a while.
Okay. Go get it and watch it again. Being a guy who you've been in locker rooms, you've seen it all. You've seen the pros, you've seen the college.
Yes.
You've seen what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch that movie again. Because I used to love The Program, the whole thing, and then it just reaches this point where I watched it, and I was still in high school, it was my senior year, and I was done, and I knew I was never going to play football again.
I was a little older than you when it came out. So
yeah, well, that's true. The second,
different perspective on it.
I'm telling you, the moment I stopped actually playing football, I go, man, this movie really sucks. The thing about the dad. It just didn't make any sense. The girl's dad and the boyfriend with the running backs and things of that nature. James Caan, Latimer painting his face and putting his head through car windows. The car window scene was actually pretty cool. When he's going through the roid rage. I've never seen. If that stuff happened in 2018, could you imagine?
Oh, it'd be big stuff.
It would be cause penalty. They'd get the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern State, whatever they are, they'd get the death penalty.
Didn't they those uniforms looked a little like Florida State's uniforms?
A little. They were basically Florida State, which I think I think the game scenes were filmed at Williams-Brice at South Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. But you had this team that had guys on roids, guys on the booze, cheaters, guys getting paid. Alvin Mack was getting paid before he got taken on by that guy from Iowa, cheap shot at him. And so you have four big violations right there. I mean, even Butch Davis would be appalled by that. Holy God!
How about The Water Boy? A little goofy, but a good movie.
No, it's funny. Water Boy's funny, but yeah, I hate Remember the Titans. I hate The Blind Side. I really, really, really hate The Program. There's a lot of movies though that I actually like.
Yeah, I can't let my son watch Varsity Blues just yet. I think he's got to get just a little, maybe after the bar mitzvah next month, maybe.
Varsity, well, yeah, there you go, because he'll be a man by then.
Yeah, the whipped cream scene, you know, I'm a little worried about that.
But. It's hot. That's hot.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Peter.
You got it.
The wonderful Peter Schwartz. Now, Varsity Blues still holds up, because there's a lot of, I know, iPads and iPhones and everybody's playing Fortnite now. How do I put this without getting in trouble? There's a lot of places where Varsity Blues holds up and is realistic for high school football players. Still. And I think probably will. Condoning? Yeah, that's your call. But still. 855-212-4CBS. We'll do that again. Top three. Shep, you got to come up with the top three football movies of all time. That was pathetic. Coming up next, Kurt Heelan going to join us. Lead NBA writer, managing editor, NBCSports.com. If Kevin Durant wants his respect back, he'll stay far away from LeBron James.
This is the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Back on CBS Sports Radio, Ken Carman until 2 a.m. Eastern, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Joining us on the show right now, basketball season's just about ready to start. And for the first time, really, in, 4 years in a presidential term, we have found out that, there's one team that you can basically mark in to make it to the NBA Finals, but the other one's a bit of a question mark. So to talk about that, we welcome in from Basketball Talk on Twitter, lead NBA writer, NBC Sports, NBCSports.com. Kurt Helan joins us on the show. Kurt, how you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm ready for any vacation I had to end, and let's get back to basketball games that matter, because preseason any sport is just hard to watch sometimes, man.
Hey, real quick, how much time do you actually get off? Because you have the draft, and then you have the finals, and then you have summer league, and it's like all of a sudden, well, we're ready to play again. Media day's here, and off we go.
Yeah, the most of the league takes off like late August and a little bit into September, just because I took some time, and we went up on vacation up into Vancouver and Victoria Island and stuff, end of July, early August. But, yeah, we get a little time. It does slow down in there a bit.
Kurt Helan joining us on the show. Well, that's got to be nice up in Vancouver. I heard that's very picturesque.
Yeah, it's a beautiful city. It is a beautiful city.
I've never been further west than Kansas City. I wouldn't know. Anyway, Kurt, before we ask you and all who's making the finals and the whole thing, where's Kevin Durant going to play next year?
Look, if you made me place a bet right now, I'd probably still place it on the Warriors. Just as, you know, I think that they still have a shot at keeping him and him signing a long-term deal there. He's not unhappy, but there is a sense around the league, even in the, you know, reporting this week that the Warriors themselves are preparing for this, but there's a real sense around the league that he was A, always going to be the first one of the guys out, and B, he just kind of now wants his own team. He wants his own space. So I would say the Warriors are in front, but if it comes to after that, I think teams like the Knicks in particular have a real shot. Yes, they've got Porzingis and they'll have Kevin Knox and whoever they draft, but obviously if you put Durant on that team, well, it's Durant's team, and that's a team that is, you know, in the East. It's not going to contend instantly, but suddenly there's some really nice pieces there, and I kind of like what the new management, and I'm a big David Fizdale fan, so I like the direction they're headed until the owner decides to screw it up for them.
I'm not trying to insult your intelligence at all. Don't take this way. I know a lot of NBA – well, because a lot of NBA guys, they get a little bit hot and bothered about it because of what I'm about to say. I've heard a couple of the rumblings that he might join LeBron in L.A., and my first thought is, you know, if you want your respect back, you don't make that move. Now, I know you respect him as a ball player, but there still is that feeling, that snake type of feeling from some of the regular basketball fans out there. What say you?
I would be very surprised if he was a Laker, and largely for that reason. If he's leaving the Warriors, it is to get – it's not because, you know, winning sucks or I don't like living in Silicon Valley and investing money. Like, it's not, you know, it's not the food in San Francisco. It's that he wants his own team. Right now, look, he's the best player on that team. I think he's a better player than Steph Curry. But Steph Curry's culture is Golden State. He's the guy that set the tone. They have fun playing. I mean, they're serious, but they have fun playing. That whole tone starts with Curry, the way that the Spurs – we give Popovich all this credit. That started with Duncan. Like, you have to have the guy in the locker room in any sport that sets the tone. It's got to come from the players. If he's leaving, it's because he wants his own team. You don't go to the Lakers. You don't go to LeBron's team, because guess what? It's LeBron's team. And Kevin Durant is I don't like the word sensitive, because I just think that's the wrong terminology for it, but he is impacted more by what people say about him than he cares to let on, but it's kind of obvious when you watch how he reacts to things. Hey, he left the Lakers and he left the Warriors and that super team to go team up with LeBron. No, that'd just be more flack. That is not where he's going to go if it happens.
And you know this, Kurt. I think there's been one guy who's never played for LeBron, and I think has played with LeBron, and I think that's Dwayne Wade. Everybody else, it seems that they've played with or they've played for him, and that takes a toll, like we've seen with Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, exactly. It does. Kyrie wanted out of the shadow. And even Wade, by the way, it takes a while to adjust to playing with LeBron. I mean, Wade had the ball in his hands all the time, and suddenly he was having to learn to play more off the ball and make cuts, and there was some sharing there, and there was with Kyrie, but especially for bigs, but, you know, you could ask Kevin Love or Chris Bosh about it, but even for other guards who are good ball handlers and shot creators, you still have to really adjust your game to play with LeBron, and that's going to be one of those interesting things to watch this year with the Lakers. Like, how does Brandon Ingram catch on eventually, and how does Lonzo Ball and some of these other guys, how does this all come together for them?
How would you, Kurt Helan joining us on the show, how would you handle Jimmy Butler?
I think you just have to move him at some point. And by the way, the offer on the table from Miami, I think, is as good as it's going to get. If the reporting is true, and that it's Josh Richardson's in the deal, so It would be Josh Richardson, Deion Waiters to fill out salary cap space. Protected first, that's about as good as it's going to get. A lot of people are like, who's Josh Richardson? Really nice 3-and-D, plays hard on both ends, kind of guy you want on your team, who would fit with Towns and Wiggins really well and is young and on a great contract. There's a lot to like there. I'm surprised that that didn't get done. They're going to start the season with him. They're going to try to make this work. Maybe it all comes together and they start singing Kumbaya and they win some games, because that's a look, if they're all together and playing well, that team is, I mean, I don't think they're on Houston and Golden State's level, but I think they're right there with Utah and Oklahoma City and whoever you want to put in the 3-4-5 slot. But they're that good if they're all together. I'm just not sure it's going to last very long. I think they're going to treat him. I wouldn't be shocked if it's before next Friday night. We'll see what happens. But that first home game, there is genuine concern in Minnesota and around the league, like how fans are going to react the first time Jimmy Butler steps on the floor in Minnesota.
Any surprise of a team that might be in on him?
Right now, Miami's the only team with traction. I know that the Clippers have lurked a little bit, but they don't want to put. They think they can try to get him as a free agent. They don't want to burn a lot of young, some of their young talent. Houston's still around, but they'd have to. You'd have to get a different trajectory and a different ask out of Minnesota. That just really hasn't gained any traction, and there doesn't seem to be anybody else. I'll tell you, there's a lot of teams who aren't jumping in that hard, because nobody's really comfortable giving 30. Jimmy Butler will turn 30 by next summer. You want to give Jimmy Butler 5 years, 190 at 30? With the miles he has on him, he plays hard. He's got Tom Thibodeau miles on his legs. Everybody's worried about the last couple of years of that contract. So there's not as many teams coming in hard to trade for him so they can sign him as you would think.
Well, Kurt, that was my first question, or at least my first thought when it all first started going down. I go, man, Jimmy Butler's a really good player. And maybe I'm just underrating him as the player. And you can say I am, but I see guys who are all-stars, and then there's the one percenters, and I don't know if he is one of those 1% guys.
I don't know if he's a 1% guy, but how many of them are there? If you're going to say he can't be the best player on a championship team, but there's, what, 4 or 5 of those guys maybe in the league? So, I mean, there's not many. I think if you've got a couple of Jimmy Butlers, because I would say he's 9, 10, 11, 12. I mean, I'm not going to try to do the ranking off the top of my head, but somewhere in that ballpark, like best player in the league. If you had number 8 and number 10 on your team and some good role players, like, you're talking. You're in the ballpark. So I think you can. I think you can win with him. The thing is, for me, I think Towns can be certainly one of those top, top 10, top 12 type players. Hey, Butler, lift him up as a leader. Like, if you're going to be a leader, find a way to do it that's not just yelling and berating him, because even Kobe moved beyond that to a degree. You've got to lift him up and make him that player, because if you do, you're not going to find a better winning situation than Minnesota right now. That is still a team poised to do well.
Kurt Helin, NBCSports.com, lead NBA writer. Follow him on Twitter at Basketball Talk, talking to us about what is going on with Jimmy Butler. Tell me about LeBron, though. Is he going to make the playoffs with the Lakers this year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're going to be in that mix in the West where once you get past Golden State and Houston will win north of 60 games probably each, or right around there. I think we can all agree, they're locks. Mm-hmm. After that, I mean, I've got Utah third because I trust their defense every night. But once you get past them and you get to the Lakers and you get to New Orleans and you get to Oklahoma City, every team is just an injury or just a little tweak. I mean, I really think that, last year, the difference, it was, I think, 3 games between number 3 Portland and the 9 seed. And I think the 9 or 10 seed and the 3 seed are going to be 4 or 5 games apart in the West, and it's going to come down to really little things. So, yes, I think they're in, because I'm not stupid enough to pick against LeBron James' teams making the playoffs, but the margins are thin for them, and I expect a slow start. Their defense has been a little rough this preseason. I like the energy. I like the pace they're playing at. But they're still trying to figure out things and figure out their rotation. And if they get off to a slow start, I'm going to let you in on a secret. That Los Angeles fan base isn't the most patient one in the world.
You think? With what they're doing to his murals out there? My God. Kurt Helin joining us on the show. Well, will we see a LeBron January? Which, what a January for LeBron is like.
It's funny. I've thought about that and asked people around the league, and the general reaction is they can't. Like, this isn't the Eastern Conference where you can kind of have a bad month and bounce back and still get in as the, you know, 3, 4, 5 seed, whatever, and then roll through the playoffs, seeding is going to matter in the West. You want to be there. There's going to be no easy round. You don't want to have to go to Denver that much. You know, you don't want Denver having home court in the first round or Utah at altitude. Those are tough places to play against. Denver's a sneaky good team, man. They're really going to be good this year. I don't even know that they're that sneaky. Everyone in the league thinks they're going to be really good. Like, seeding's going to matter in those kind of cases. If you've got to play, if Denver gets the 4 seed and you're the 5 and you've got to play them on the road, so a lot of that matters. And I think the Lakers could be on the wrong side of that curve just with that slow start.
Boston coming out of the East?
Probably. I think Toronto's the one team that could give them trouble. I mean, look, this team did win 59 on paper. They won 59 games last year, and then they took an all-NBA player, and if Kawhi Leonard is genuinely MVP Kawhi Leonard, upgraded across the board. I've still got my questions. I mean, you tend to write them off in the playoffs, but I think Kawhi is a proven playoff star. They've got a new coach, remember, Nick Nurse. I'm a little, let's see how that shakes out and how more creative they are on offense. But if everything comes together, I think that's the only team with the kind of depth to really challenge Boston. And that said, I'd still take Boston.
Kurt Heelan joining us on the show. Where is Kyrie going to play next year?
Kyrie Irving? Oh, he'll be in Boston. He's not leaving. He's. I mean, I know he said as much, which, take with a grain of salt sometimes. But in his case, this is something that's been kind of buzzed around the league for a little while, that he really wasn't looking to leave. I know that there was talk of him going to New York or whatever, but that he's not going to find a better situation. He wants his own team where he's got the ball and they're winning and he likes the situation. And I don't know that there's a better one than Boston right now. That is a really good team that's still got a lot of youth and is only going to get better.
Does Kawhi get a fresh start up in Toronto, like a true one, or is there some residual left over?
He's going to have to earn that. I think that there's a lot of questions about, and there's a lot of bad blood around the league about, I don't want to say a lot, there's some questions around the league about how he left San Antonio. Look, San Antonio is about the most player-friendly organization in the league. Like, everybody wants to play for Popovich, and he's forcing his way out. And that's raising some eyebrows because nobody's really putting that on Popovich. It's not like, he brought this guy along and helped make him the player he is. So there's a lot of questions there. He's going to have to earn that fresh start. But the thing is, Toronto may be a good spot for him. It's a big fan base. It is a passionate fan base that wants to win. That's a good team in the East. But that's not the New York media driving. It's a little more friendly up there. It's a little bit easier on the players. He's not going to have some of the demands that would come, like join the Lakers or something. There's just less drama, I think, in Toronto in some ways. So I don't know. This might be a place that he loves. We'll see how he feels about it in February. But, I think they have a better chance than some people think to keep him. I don't know that I'd bet on it, but I think their chances are better than people think.
It'd be nice. I'd like a little bit. I know that maybe I hate the word parity, but it still would be a little bit nice to see him up there and to see that team compete. Kurt, thank you for the time, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
I look forward to it, man.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Coming up next, I was rooting for the Patriots tonight because the Chiefs make me feel like I'm going through a midlife crisis.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.